Hey, hey, it's Lynn Stroy, and our jam-packed combo series continues with part three, Steph Curry's education, microchips in Sweden, scarcity of kindness, and other things.
Just because I don't believe or agree doesn't mean I can't learn from you.
Why did you have to bring that up?
Okay, that one I'm super embarrassed about.
Do you like me?
Do I like you?
Yeah.
As an individual or
as a
podcast?
Yeah, as a person.
No, I like you.
Okay, cool, cool.
And I don't have any interest in appearing to be stronger than I am.
I ain't bowed to Nebuchadnezzar's statue. He gonna leave. You feel me?
How do we love people who see the world differently than we do?
What would it look like if we truly loved all of our neighbors? Could listening to their stories be the first step? This is Seacoast Church, and there's way more to talk about.
Joey thinks he's a news reporter on this one. You'll hear a really happy, heartwarming cop story.
You'll hear how one of our campuses is located in one of the two most dangerous cities to drive a car in.
And how the country of Sweden has started inserting microchips into people. These chips can function as many things, including IDs, train tickets, and even car keys.
They talk why Blockbuster went out of business, and guess what? It wasn't because of Netflix.
Joey wants to know why Steph Curry, after winning his fourth NBA championship with the Golden State Warriors and set for life financially, why he would push through to graduate from college. Well, here's my news story. Joey doesn't value education.
Lastly, the three discuss how many people, especially in our younger generation, seem to take people's political affiliation and what side they're on with divisive issues. And they value these things over kindness, love, and the heart of the person. And that, in Lynn's words, is a sad place to be.
It's Joey, Lynn, and Pastor T.
All right, so I want to start off with something super happy because I don't know why we don't tell news stories like this more often, but check this out. This is awesome. So, little boy, somewhere part in the country, doesn't matter. Little boy is going door to door wanting to pick up some yard work jobs to raise money for like a PlayStation or something. You know about this?
I saw it on the socials.
You saw it where?
On social media.
Yeah. So, neighbors call the cops. Going door to door looking for work. The neighbors call the cops. And so the cop shows up, you know, asks the kid a few questions. And basically, he's just like very well-mannered kid. He just wants to raise money for a PlayStation. The police officer, who was a gamer himself, I'll just read. He says, was impressed with the young man and thought he would help him reach his goal. And there's a video of it. And it's just like, gets me choked up. The officer and some of his friends came together to get the video game system and even a gift card to pay for the membership so the boy could play immediately. The officer also made sure that this young man knew they would play on the same team online soon, the department said. That was really cool.
That's awesome.
Really cool.
And I think the police officer said that even the neighbors admitted that he was asking them if he could do yard work to earn money. So it's not even like they were like, oh, he's just, you know, like they were honest, like, yeah, he asked to do this. But we called the police.
It's crazy. All right. So this guy, he keeps, he has written me about three times. I think I'm on some sort of mass email, but he referred to me as the head of a newsroom. Haven't responded to tell him that we're not a news station. But do y'all know one out of the two most dangerous places in America to drive? There's two cities. What's one of them?
To drive?
New York.
North Charleston.
Really?
North Charleston and Jackson, Mississippi. I wanted to tell you that.
I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't going to catch me in Jackson. No, sir.
Does that surprise you? Charleston?
North Charleston surprises little. Me. Where in North Charleston? Does it say just in general?
So it says North Charleston is about 9 miles from Charleston, a popular tourist destination on the coast of South Carolina. The state had a crash fatality rate of 23 deaths per 1,000 people in 2021. Oh. It's the third largest city in South Carolina, but had the state's highest rate of auto deaths among cities with at least 100,000 residents.
Okay, that makes sense. Auto deaths. So you say
most did I not say auto?
You said most dangerous place to drive, and my head thinks something completely different than like... I don't know.
Cars?
I'm thinking, if it's danger, like, I just think danger outside of just, like, car crashes. But, like, would you drive through this area? And I'm like, I drive through North Charleston every day.
Oh.
But that makes sense.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, car crashes. Yes, there are always car crashes.
Yeah. I just got back from New York a month or so ago, and it was crazy. But, I mean, you're going 6 miles an hour, so you ain't gonna die if you hit somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're on 26 going 80, I can see it.
Yeah. And traffic is insane because I commute. Like, I'm crossing through like a short part of North Charleston from Hanahan to get on 526. And that area around 26 and 526 is nuts. And people do drive like maniacs.
Right.
I don't know if y'all have heard of this or not, but in Sweden, do y'all know what's going on? I feel like a news reporter. Let me tell you all these news stories.
You are in a newsroom.
I don't even watch the news.
This is the third one.
Everything's news to me.
They're having now, and now there's thousands who have done this, but they are implanting microchips into bodies so that they don't need to carry car keys, IDs, even train tickets. Now, back in the old school days, I would say, they're destined for hell. That's the mark of the beast. I don't want anything in me, but is there any specific reason why you're like, nope?
I have lots of specific reasons. Okay, first of all,
you're going to be tracked everywhere you go.
Right. You can't, like, number one,
that's already happening
you
with these phones, though, right?
It is, but it's not in your body. And you don't know who made the microchip, what it does. Like, you can't guarantee, like, what it can or cannot do. We do some crazy things in the name of convenience. Not that we can control everything, but you're not putting something in my body that like turns things on and off. No.
Dude, have you seen Suicide Squad? Mm-mm. Like, all I can imagine when you're talking is someone holding a button with me having a microchip and they can press it and it just explodes. Because, like, that's how the lady got all of the people to do what she wanted them to do. I'm not about
that. Or those
that
Divergent life. Movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
It's creepy.
You missed me with all
Suicide
that.
Suicide Squad, is that like Marvel or DC or totally not any of them?
No, it's one of them, but I don't want to be disrespectful to the viewers and getting it wrong on which one it is.
Oh, gotcha. You don't know.
I don't remember.
Okay.
That is, would you whichever do that, one
has, Joey? Oh, it's DC because it has Harley Quinn, and that's the Joker's girlfriend. So it's DC.
I mean, it would be crazy, though, if they started offering some sort of amount of money for incentive. But
no.
I mean, it's probably going to get to a place where you just have to do that kind of stuff to get. I mean, I know you don't have to, but if you want to be able to come and go and buy stuff, and I mean, I think that day is long, long time coming. But
you know the worry about that for me. So if you're getting mugged right now, I give you my wallet, I give you my phone, I give you my keys, and I walk out. If I got a freaking chip in my hand
with all of your
so now you're cutting my hand off?
Actually, it's mug protection because that chip's not going to help them.
It's not.
No, like, it's not.
Because the value, like people, like, right, if you have something or you have money and they don't value your life.
Then it's going to take my arm. So now I'm broke and armless.
Yes. So now theft also involves like kidnapping, assault, murder.
No.
Oh, gosh. I didn't even think about that. We're taking your arm.
Right.
Oh,
nope. Take
right.
the phone.
All right. So the happier side of this, and Lynn, you're going to be like, how often are we going to talk about this with how things were just so recently? So I made a list, and you guys chime in anytime you want, or you can just sit back and listen. But check out these phrases and things. The next generation, my kids, they don't have any reference point for unless I explain it to them. Check this out. I'll draw you a map on how to get there. We used to do that. Oh, you don't know how to get there? Let me draw you a quick little map. Check that. I mean, more advanced, MapQuest. And I thought that was unbelievable. You type in two addresses, mm-hmm. and then you print out directions, and sometimes they weren't right. Did y'all ever get
stuck? Most of the time, they were not right. Most of the time.
All right. Dad, hang up the phone. I hear you breathing. They don't know. They're like, what are you talking about? I keep getting a busy signal. They must have the phone off the hook.
Or, yeah, when your parents would just take it off the hook if they didn't want it to ring.
Right. Yeah. All right. A card catalog. We used to actually be taught this in school. Like, it was a part of curriculum. You have to know how to look up books in the library. That's insane. A little paper drawer thing. All right. High-speed dubbing. Do y'all remember how cool that was? Man, we could dub tapes in high speed. All right. I like side A more than side B on that cassette. So you had to listen to it, rewind it all the way back, and then push play again. Mm. Let's boot up the internet. We have to get home before 8 to watch fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you talking about? Get home before. This is one of my favorites. I went to the video store and they ran out of a certain movie. And then lastly, AOL. Do y'all know what AOL stands for?
America Online.
See, I didn't even know. Yep. Isn't that horrible? I didn't even know. I had to
because
look it
I
up.
Think when it first came out, they didn't call it AOL. They call it all of the commercials were America Online.
Right.
But the Blockbuster, I was thinking about that the other day. Like on a Friday night, we would go to Blockbuster and walk around.
It was a thing.
Or you would stand to see what people were dropping off because the movie you wanted wasn't on the shelf. And I just imagine, like, it's just interesting to think, like, Blockbuster, pick a flick. All like
Pick a people, flick. Hollywood video.
I have no idea about like, and this is before systems talk to each other. So I remember like after college, me and my friends, like I had a membership at the Blockbuster near our house. My roommate had a membership at the Blockbuster somewhere else. So if we had a fine, then we would just go to the other Blockbuster because you didn't know, like the computers didn't talk to each other.
Have y'all seen the documentary, The Last Blockbuster?
No.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. I was, and everybody has the same misconception. They showed this in the documentary. They asked tons of people, why do you think Blockbuster went out of business? Why do y'all think Blockbuster went out of business?
I thought they just didn't handle finances. They just went bankrupt.
I thought it was Netflix.
That's almost what everybody said was Netflix, but it was basically mismanagement of resources because they were right there with Netflix doing the same sort of stuff. Like they started offering things online. They were doing the mail service alongside Netflix. So it wasn't that Netflix had this super awesome idea that put Blockbuster under. It was Blockbuster just didn't have the resources. All right, here's a test that I'm really interested in. Do you know what I'm talking about, T, when I say up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, start?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Select start.
If you're playing with two players.
Right,
if you're
right.
Well, I'm thinking of like playing Mortal Kombat with my brother, but I don't know what that
gotcha.
Code
what,
does.
What game?
No, it's Super C.
Contra.
Yep.
Is video games more of a dude thing? Did you play video games?
I did, but only because, not because I was into them, but like growing up, we had one TV. So if my brother was playing video games, if I wanted to do something, I had to play with him. And also there were arcades back then. And my dad would take us to the arcade one night a week.
Yeah.
And my brother taught me how to play Mortal Kombat. And so we would like put our quarters on the on the game, and then I would play against the boys and take over the thing. So yeah,
Mortal
I
Kombat.
Played. Yeah, so
who's your
Street
favorite character?
Fighter, Scorpion. Come here.
Lynn just did the motions of pulling someone's heart out.
That's great.
Who would have thought, sweet Lynn would just do the motions of pulling a guy's heart out on Mortal Kombat. Did you play Mortal Kombat?
Of course.
I don't think my parents would have let me. That's what I don't understand. It seems like video games would have been more of a universal thing, but I did not know a lot of girls growing up that played video games.
Probably only if they had brothers. Also, it was a lot more expensive, or at least for us. And so like we would only play like Atari. A friend down the street had an Atari. I don't think we knew anybody who had a Sega. And then we didn't have a regular Nintendo. My brother got a Super Nintendo. But back then it was like so pricey to even have it that most people, like one person in the friend group would have it. And I can't imagine like girls just having it if their brothers weren't playing it.
All right. So I got to find out what you guys think of this. I think I can guess Lynn's thoughts on it.
He's getting to know me.
So fantastic documentary on Steph Curry. It's on Apple TV. You can probably get it elsewhere, but really good documentary. And I'm being lighthearted here. I'm not really frustrated at Curry. I think he's probably a great guy, but I do think it's a compelling thought. So after, you know, Celtics are my team. So after the Warriors beat the Celtics, the next year, he actually receives a college degree. And it's really cool because he's just one of the students and the whole crowd is just like, oh my gosh, that's Steph Curry up there. And he's getting his degree. Here's my question. Why? Now, if it's to be proud of himself, totally understand. If it's, I want to learn, totally understand. But if it's to get a degree, what does he need a degree for?
Well,
what in the heck does he need a degree for?
You correct me because he made a promise to his mama. And if I tell my mom I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. It don't matter if I'm a millionaire or not.
But why? Okay, so I'll back up then. Why would his mom want him to have a degree? Isn't a degree a function to have an income? Like, you get a degree so that you can be more productive in society.
Not necessarily.
And sometimes it's about setting a standard for a generation of kids to come.
Yeah.
Like, if I had never...
Such better people than me.
If I had never graduated high school, I want my kid to graduate high school. So that would be my standard. So if she had never graduated college,
yeah,
or no one in her family, she's like, hey, baby, I know you got this great gift, but this ain't going to last forever.
And not everybody can do what you do. And
the window is so short. And how many people who do what you do go mm-hmm. broke? So yeah. You have to have a plan B. Like, that's the why behind it. It's not just to get the paper. It's to have the knowledge to be able to do something with your life once this time is gone. So you're not Allen Iverson. Like, they're not making those documentaries about how you had all these millions and you blew it.
Well, why isn't plan B just getting some good financial stewardship help instead of an actual degree?
I think it, and
again, if it's for the sake of learning, yeah, I totally get it. Yeah. Learning is valuable. But I mean, if he spent tons of time trying to get a degree, wouldn't his time would have been better spent in serving people in a soup kitchen?
I think that it's more nuanced than that. And I don't know what his mom's motivation was. Yeah, I didn't know that either. But I would say, like, even if I look at my own family, in my immediate family, or like even around me, I was the first cousin to go to college. And so even my little cousins, like, they came down from New York. My aunt brought them to go to my graduation because I was the first cousin to graduate from college. Right. And so it, like, gave them a vision for something that didn't happen to our parents, but is now normal. It could be a lot of things. It could be for your family. It could be her wanting him to have an education. And yes, he could probably pay someone to handle his finances, but also she might just want him to have an education, you know, maybe for the sake of, like, doing something. I mean, I think that there are so many reasons that you would want to do that. And for him, if he made a promise to his mom, he wants to do it. If it's something that he may not have been guaranteed that he was going to have that money, keep that money. I don't know.
And he had bad ankles. So, like, that was one of the knocks when he was coming out. He's always hurt. That had to be that. But what about his kids? What happens when his daughter says, he's like, hey, what are you going to do when you grow up? And she's like, oh, I'm going to be a movie star.
Yeah. WNBA player.
Yeah, I'm going to be a WNBA player. Okay, well, if that don't work, no, it's going to work.
Yeah, look at you, Dad.
Right. Now he's got the, hey, I believe in you.
Yeah.
But this is what I did, and this is why. And you need to do the same thing. Like, it's hard for a parent to tell a kid to do something that the kid watched them not do. So it might not have been for him.
Yeah. All right.
He seems so sad.
I knew I would receive some good help here. As a sports fan, though, it was the neatest documentary because I remember the Curry hype at Davidson, but I did not remember what happened. I didn't remember how far they went. But watching that documentary, it does click how freaky of nature he is. I mean, he is a freak of nature. With this last championship that he won without Kevin Durant on his team, he cemented himself as one of the greats. I mean, he's up there with Kobe. He's up there with Jordan, Bird, Magic.
Slow down.
He is. He's one of the greats now.
He is one of the greats. One of the greatest players ever. And the greatest thing about him.
Then why do you have to slow down?
He looks like an average dude. Like, he looks like the little kid that you just look like. I get it. There's still a bar, and Jordan is still that.
Oh, yeah. No, I think Jordan is on top.
Okay.
I do think there's only about 15 players that even belong in the conversation of the absolute greats.
Okay.
The absolute. And I think he's one of them now. And it's just, when you see him in college, everybody watching him, they have to be thinking, there's no way he makes it in the pros. I mean, absolutely no way. I mean, he seriously looked like a little high schooler out on the court. It's crazy.
What did he get his degree in?
I don't know. It's a good question. Somebody Google it.
I think it's important to know. I take that back. I don't know that it's important to know.
You're
but
curious.
But I think it's worth the call. Yeah.
Right.
Curry received his diploma, a Bachelor of Arts degree with a major in sociology.
Ooh.
Oh.
After completing this 13 years. So it took him 13 years, but he got there.
Well, I mean, if he's balling, hey, like he's balling.
Hey, I ain't mad,
sociology.
Bro.
Sociology.
Sociology.
Okay.
All right, well, so we'll wrap this here. I was watching a movie. Don't even remember what it was, but I wrote this down because I wanted to bring it up. And I thought it was so, I always have a hard time with this word. Is it poignant? Is that how you say it? Poignant?
I think so.
All right. Poignant. There you go. So this person, they're discussing whether or not someone did something bad. And so this girl in the movie says, he's a, and it's a very bad word for a person that's a mean jerk. So just fill in the blank. He's a blank. She's like, no, he couldn't have done that. He's a blank, but his politics check out. Literally were her words. So he's a jerk. Nobody really likes him. He's unkind. But his politics check out. So this generation coming up, they value being on the right side of debatable issues more than courtesy, manners, respect. Would y'all say that that is a pretty prevalent notion these days? Is it as bad as it seems?
I would say that that checks out.
That checks out?
I do see that in our culture.
Like, in other words, you're a bad person if you believe like the Democrats. Oh, well, you're a bad person if you believe like the Republicans. It really is a problem.
If you believe that someone is okay because of a political stance that they take, you're an idiot. You can't 100% say that everything Republicans say is good or Democrats. Like, you got to go into politics as a human. Because there are lots of things that I agree with that the Democrats say. And there are lots of things that I agree with that the Republicans say.
He's officially the second person who's called someone an idiot on the podcast. You know who the first person is?
Chip.
Jack. Jack the Lesser. I think Jack the Lesser's done it a few times. Then you're an idiot.
Like,
go ahead.
I see people getting all up in arms about red and blue. And I'm just like, biblically, you can't just be one of these. Because there's going to be something biblically that you're going to rub wrong. Because what's one of the things that the Republicans always say about the Democrats? They're just throwing money and just helping them. Like, we're called to help people. We are. I mean, we're also called to be good stewards of our resources. And that's what one of the knocks on the Republicans are, right? So, like, no red, no blue. Human.
Even you, like, reading that, I do feel like if you line up with where I stand on this issue, your character doesn't matter, and I have a problem with that. Like, character does matter.
Yes.
That's very well articulated.
So we can stand on the same side of the tape on an issue and you not have bad character, and I don't want to stand next to you because of your character. And so I don't want to submit to authority because I think they're going to do politically with what I think should happen, because in the end of the day, we know that the world is not going to be changed by politics. And so I can't compromise your character for what I think you're going to do for me politically.
That part, like, I care more about what my daughter sees in you when you're living your life than how you vote.
Highly recommend this book. It's called The Coddling of the American Mind. And it's talking about there's three huge problems that or three concepts that we're teaching our kids. And one of them is everybody's either good or evil. And I mean, we know as Christians that any good person has the capacity for bad. Any bad person has the capacity for good. Good and bad, just they're not fitting enough terms. It doesn't encapsulate a person. But here's how it plays out. Someone comes to the college to actually speak to students. They look at this person's politics. And they're like, ooh, I don't like those politics. So it's not good enough for that person to say, I'm not going to go and listen to that. So first of all, why not stretch yourself and at least hear another perspective? But that's fine. You're entitled to not show up. But they take it the next level. Nobody needs to listen. And it's becoming more common for a speaker to get up in front of students and for them to shout him or her off the stage. They can't even get a word out because the students showed up to make sure this person cannot even communicate. And we're talking, this is college universities where you should be learning other perspectives of thought and maybe even, you know, have the ability to recognize what are good thoughts, what are bad thoughts. But instead, it's like, no, you don't need to hear certain things because it's just completely bad. But
and I mean, you said it. You said college students, their brains aren't fully developed. So, because they don't develop to what, 25, right? That's
yeah,
right.
No frontal lobe.
Right.
Fully formed.
But man, what would happen if the people we didn't agree with, we took the time to get to know and have a conversation with? And sometimes hearing them out, like you say, it's a big deal. And it's not having a conversation for the sake of changing their mind, but having the conversation for the sake of understanding where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And that's on all issues.
Yeah.
It is pretty scary to think that there are parts of our society where you wouldn't value a person over what they believe. So like if I'm driving down the road and somebody is broken down on the side of the road, would you not help them because of what is on their bumper sticker? I think that that is dangerous in our society, that like I should still be kind and help you regardless of what, you know, what your bumper sticker is, regardless of what you think on an issue. And so that is a like sad place to be, to think that even in the example that you give of the students, it's like you are now assigning value to a life based on what you believe. And would you help that person if they needed it? And if you wouldn't, then like our society is declining. Sure. And that's problematic.
Yeah. And is a person worth being loved if they're wrong on important stuff? Of course.
People matter to Jesus. They, by default, have to matter to us if Jesus matters to us.
Yeah.
Amen, Pastor T.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, Lynn, what were you laughing at?
Tell them, Lynn.
Let's
go. Come on. But if podcast's anybody, going good now.
But if anybody out there wants to meet me for coffee, I'd be glad to share
okay. my examples. I will. Everybody look at the show notes. There'll be Lynn's phone number. Oh, Jesus.
Thanks for listening. The series continues in the next episode with part 4 of the series, The Surratt Brothers, on their relationship and how Seiko spends money. If you enjoy these episodes, we'd love for you to leave us a rating and maybe even a comment. We've loved the comments that have come in so far. There's also a link in the show notes to our podcast Facebook group where we talk about these episodes and we share some behind-the-scenes information, including guests that we're booking. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Why are y'all laughing at me? Why are y'all laughing at me?
You're crazy, bro.
Why are y'all laughing at me? I don't know what y'all think is so funny. Do y'all think it's a dumb question?
I mean, I have an answer to it.
Go ahead, Lynn.
The way I was going to answer it, I can't.
Ignorant T was right there.
That's why I was staring straight ahead without looking at you.
Is there something very specific that you guys are laughing at?
I would say that I...
Whoa. So you're not going to tell me what you're laughing at?
She's probably about to. Go ahead, Lynn.
I would say that I...
She's not going to tell me.